This is PodTech News. I'm Catherine Girardeau, reporting from Day 3 of the Search Engine Strategies Conference at San Jose's McEnery Convention Center. Google CEO Eric Schmidt was featured this morning in a keynote discussion with Search Engine Strategies Chair Danny Sullivan.
In Part 1 of the keynote, Schmidt talks about the history of the Internet, user trust, and search privacy.
It may be helpful to put architecture and the Internet in something of a historic context to start with, and say that, you know, 20 years ago, everybody was in love with a concept called client-server computing, and many of the companies that are here in the Valley and in the industry as a whole were built up around a model where you had a PC client and then a set of servers, Unix, OS2, Windows, et cetera, and a lot of proprietary protocols between those. And many of those protocols and architectures are still present today. What's even more interesting, and technical people never really think about this, is that there was also a business model built to fund and hire all those engineers to build all that. And the business model was largely invented by Oracle. And it was a direct sales force that would go in and sell complicated software to enterprises that they would integrate and do important business functions. What's interesting is that there is an emergent new model, and that you all are here because you're part of that new model. And I don't think people have really understood how big this opportunity really is. It starts with the premise that the data services and architecture should be on servers. We call it cloud computing. They should be in a cloud somewhere. And that if you have the right kind of browser, the right kind of access, it doesn't matter whether you have a PC or a Mac or a mobile phone or a BlackBerry or what have you, or new devices to be developed, you can get access to that. And there are a number of companies that have benefited from that. Obviously, Google, Yahoo, eBay, Amazon come to mind. The computation and the data and so forth are in the servers. Now, this is the same talk that I gave in this room 10 years ago about something called the network computer, which I can assure you none of you are using because it didn't work. But in the last 10 years, technology and architecture, things called Ajax and something called LAMP, which is Linux, Apache, MySQL, PHP, Perl, Python, all of these new platforms have come out. And in looking at it, the analogous thing that happened to make this possible that I certainly didn't see 10 years ago was the development of advertising and advertising in this new forum. And so what's interesting is that the two go hand in hand. There is a new business model that's funding all of the software innovation to allow people to have platform choice, client choice, data architectures that are interesting, solutions that are new, and that's being driven by advertising. The reason that I said don't bet against the internet is an awful lot of people are still trying to do stuff the old way. They're still trying to build proprietary protocols. They're still trying to not build standardized protocols. They're still not trying to solve problems in a simple and extensible way. But when somebody does it right, let me give you an example of mashups, for example, which are taking over the world by storm, it happens very fast, and that's the power of the internet.
Now, one of the other things you mentioned, the advertising helping develop and fund all these things, search has been this huge driver. We have continued to turn to search. We confess our innermost desires to it. And this week, it's just a phenomenal thing that I think a lot of people might not have caught on to because we've been so busy with the show. But on Monday, AOL had released a large amount of search data. And the intentions were honorable. They released the data so that researchers could see how people were searching. And they thought that they protected the privacy of the people because they replaced all the usernames with tokens or anonymous numbers. But people quickly discovered that because I could find the profile of a particular person, that we could track it back. And the New York Times, this will be a big sale day, at least for them here in San Jose. This woman has become the poster child of search privacy. She is a woman that is on the front page of the New York Times, where they went through and they did enough of going through the data of what this one anonymous person had searched for that they thought, it's got to be this woman. It's got to be this woman. And they called her up and she said, yeah, that's me. And she's a 62-year-old widow in Georgia, so she's kind of probably the most innocent person of some of this data that they could pick out. And it was very revealing, but this whole issue has raised all sorts of issues. Now we've had queries where you could see someone doing searches that looked like they were planning to murder their wife. You've got searches where you think people might be doing illegal stuff, just searches that are embarrassing. And it comes back to, what do you do to protect this? to ensure that it's not going to happen accidentally out of, say, Google, or on purpose in terms of we are trying to give research data, but we want to help, or to prevent the government from coming in and saying, well, this is great. This is like pre-crime out of a Philip K. Dick novel. We need to go in here more and see these records because look at what people are planning.
Well, it's obviously a terrible thing, and the data as released was obviously not anonymized enough, and maybe it wasn't such a good idea to release it in the first place. Speaking for Google, we exist by virtue of the trust of our end users. So if we were to make a mistake to release private information that could be used against somebody, especially if it could be used against them in a way that would really hurt them in a physical way or something like that, it would be a terrible thing. And we have lots and lots of systems in the company to prevent that. You know, it's funny that we talk about the company being more transparent, but there are many things inside our company that are important that we don't share with everyone, starting with everyone's queries and all the information that that implies. I've always worried that the query stream was a fertile ground for governments to randomly snoop on people and things like this. We had a case that was where we were only a secondary party, where the government gave us a subpoena, which was, in our view, overbroad. And this overbroad subpoena we fought in federal court. One of the great things about the American system is that you can actually have a judge make an impartial decision, and the judge ruled largely in our favor. So that's an example of how strongly we take this point.
One of the worries has been that, you know, even with the protections, the longer that the data is out there, the more likely that it can come out in some way, shape, or form. And to my knowledge, Google's policy is that you simply don't destroy it, that you do protect it. Does something like this make you think, gosh, maybe we really should just go through and say, we will keep this data for a month or 2 months, and then we will destroy it as a way of protecting it from ourselves or others?
We've actually had that debate. The information is in sufficiently non-transparent way that it would be difficult to have somebody steal it. And so we're reasonably satisfied that, and we obviously work hard to make sure this remains true, that any information, that this sort of thing would not happen with Google, although you can never say never. I think, again, the more interesting question is not an accidental error, but something where a government, maybe not even a U.S. government, but a non-U.S. government, decided that it was time to get in there. And we do worry about that.
Beyond the idea of the privacy of the searching that we do, there's, I think, growing concerns about the privacy of what people can find out about us through search engines. And I mean, you've personally had this sort of experience where you've thought, oh, didn't really want that sort of thing to get out or go with it from there. Everybody, I think, has sort of encountered this thing, or sometimes perhaps horror, if they've done an ego search and they say, how'd that get information? And when I've been asked about it, I explain it's not particularly a search engine problem, it's a problem that these public records are going to be out there with or without you. But it's fair to say that search engines have suddenly become a much easier conduit to it, that you no longer have to be a public investigator or a newspaper reporter or some super ferreting researcher. Do the search engines need to do more to try to pull back on the public information that's being released from other sources, or to act as a middleman to at least filter it to make it harder to get to through them?
I hope that the outcome will be good judgment on the part of all of the players. In California, for example, there were laws that said that all the DMV records were public, which of course included people's home addresses, until an actress was stalked and killed because a terrible, terrible, idiot, criminal murderer used this information against her, and it's not okay. So that's an example where a little bit of conversation and an understanding that not everyone in the world is perfectly honest and honorable. There are crazy people, and there are criminals, and there are evil people in the world, although the vast majority of people are not. We would be very, very concerned if information that Google managed to search was used to harm someone. And so we have, for example, we work very hard to prohibit credit card numbers, which are relatively easy we try to not send those forward. Similarly with phone numbers, many of you probably know that phone numbers seem to be routinely printed on the net for one reason or another, and we've made it easy for you to delete a phone number without us asking you a lot of questions about why, so that your phone number can be protected for obvious reasons. It's harder for things like home addresses and other kind of personally identifiable information, and it'd be nice if there were a systematic way to give people that choice. The solution, remember, is that Google is simply an aggregator of information, and the people who publish that information had better have a pretty good reason for publishing it. I'll give you an example of one of the worst sites I can think of. There's a site of people who list abortion, people who do abortion doctors, and their home addresses. And they start by saying, this is not a site by which you can use to kill them. And the reason is that it's illegal, thank goodness, by the way, to encourage murder. So they put the disclaimer in, and then they put the home addresses in. Now, come on, guys. This is not a hard question. So, again, a little bit of judgment helps a lot here.
But is that the kind of site that you would say, we just dislike the whole idea of that site, that we'll take it out? We won't provide a link to it?
It's an example of something that we have debated. This type of site, the good news about these sites is that they're not in the first page.
They tend not to rank well anyway.
So they rank poorly, thank goodness, because the number of crazy people is small. ranking algorithms are pretty good. The smart people are ahead of the crazy people. But the problem we have with that kind of information is it's easy to hide it. It's easy to obliterate it. So even if we were to eliminate one category, the terrible person could do it again. So we worry a lot about this because we want Google to be used as a positive force in the world. And we're convinced that the overwhelming value of having all that information, you know, available to you whenever you want it and so forth, really does justify, you know, what we do, and we take it as our mission.
That was Google CEO Eric Schmidt in highlights from a keynote discussion with Search Engine Strategies Chair Danny Sullivan on day three of the Search Engine Strategies Conference at San Jose's McEnery Convention Center. This is PodTech News.